Sit back, relax, and get ready for a double dose of scripture on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. It's another scorcher here in southern New Jersey, but I'll tell you what, I'm happy to be here. I'm in an air-conditioned house. It was beautiful. I got the lawns done today. I cut both the front and the back lawn. Got to spend a little time outside, and now we are going to hang out, and I'm going to give you a mega dose of scripture on this weekending edition of the Gary Zimak Show. Here's what I'm going to do. We'll look at the Mass readings from today's daily Mass. Now, typically on Friday, I don't do that. What I normally do is focus on the Mass readings for the upcoming Sunday, which I'm going to do as well. Sunday is a big day. It's the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, so we've got special readings, but you know what? I looked at the Mass readings from today's Mass, and they were so good. There's such a great message in the first reading and the Gospel. I'm not going to do the responsorial psalm today because we've got a lot to cover that I want to talk about them. The Gospel can be a little confusing. There's some really good things. I want to make some points about the Gospel, and this week it gives us some continuity. I'm not sure every Friday I'll keep doing this because I try to just focus on the Sunday Mass readings and maybe put in another theme, but I want to do it this week, and also the first reading today has a great message, so I want to cover that. So you're going to have a first reading, a Gospel, and then from Sunday you'll have a first reading, a psalm, a second reading, and a Gospel. That's a lot of scripture, right? Therefore, it's probably a good idea for Gary to be quiet and move on, don't you think? Well, before he does, as he speaks about himself in the third person, he's going to take a sip of his beverage du jour, which today is a nice tall glass of water. Sometimes that's the best thing. Sometimes it's the best thing for me, and it tastes really good as well. I hope you've got a good snack. Hope you've got a good beverage. And I hope you're ready to really hear the Lord speak to you through the pages of the Bible. Just a few quick things. The summer, it's tough financially to keep going, to keep my ministry going. So I would ask you to please consider making either a one-time donation or making a becoming a monthly sponsor. If you're a monthly sponsor, you want to throw an extra a one-time donation my way, it is very much needed. So the summer's tough, and I'm going to have to ask you to do that so that this program can continue. Also, it's incredibly important that if you're a coffee drinker and you'd like to get some great coffee, that you consider purchasing Mystic Monk Coffee from my website, followingthetruth.com. Great coffee. You'll love it if you ever had it. You will absolutely love it. And it's brewed by real monks, real Carmelite monks. These guys love our Lord. They love our Lady. And they make some awesome coffee. And the other thing is that you can help me, especially if you're someone who shops at Amazon.com. I would ask you just, instead of going, whenever you're going to buy, no matter what you buy from Amazon, and especially on some of the bigger ticket items, this is very helpful, that instead of just going to Amazon.com, that you visit followingthetruth.com first and click on the Amazon link right from my website. And that'll take you into Amazon. Everything will be the same for you. You'll get the same prices. I don't get to see what you purchase. All I'll see is the amount of commission that comes in, and every purchase that you make results in a little bit of a commission for me. So if you would do those things, provided you could afford them, it would really help me. That's the way I keep this show on the air. That's the way I keep my full-time ministry going, because speaking and books just isn't enough for me to pay the bills. It really isn't. So that's why I have to turn to you. You've been very good to me in the past, and I know the Lord will continue to provide if he wants this show to continue. And thank you. I talk about this at the start of the show. I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. That you care and that you help me out so much. I was giving some thought to total consecration, which, God willing, we're going to do in the fall again. I want to come up with a novel approach. We've done a series of different books for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. We're going to do it again in the fall. I think it will start in September, which is what we typically do. But I want to use maybe a combination of books this year. I don't want to do the same thing I always do. We used 33 Days to Morning Glory last year. You can look at that. I still have the links to all of those previous podcasts. You can go through that if you want. But I want this to be something special. I want to take the best from a series of different methods of preparation for total consecration, which, according to St. Louis de Montfort, is fine. He said, you don't even need the full 33 days. It's just something recommended. I want to do 33 days, but I want to use a different approach. So haven't figured it out yet. I still have time, but God willing, we will do it again in the fall. And that's one of the reasons I'm asking you to sustain me and sustain this show. We've been on the air for 5+ years now, and it's totally because of your support, your financial support, your prayers, and your word of mouth, letting people know about the program. That's the reason that I continue to be able to do this. So I thank you in advance for anything you could do to sustain me so we can make it until total consecration. Okay, and if you have questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Why don't we pray now? Let's pray. Let's turn to our Lord and ask for his blessings on the program, for on us, on all the people that need him. And we're going to also thank him for a thing or two, notably his presence in our lives, the fact that he's with us. We want to really concentrate on that. We want to concentrate on the tremendous gift that we have in the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, sent by the Father and the Son to us to help us to make these tough decisions and to lead a holy life. We couldn't do this on our own. We depend on the Holy Spirit. And I promised before Pentecost that I'd like to do some more material on the Holy Spirit, because he's completely misunderstood. So many Catholics don't even know the point of the Holy Spirit. But we need to talk more about the Holy Spirit. That's forthcoming. I'm working on something. I don't know exactly what I want to do yet, but I want to get you to know the Holy Spirit better. I want to get to know him better. He is a real person. We can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't hear that a lot, but we can. We can have a personal relationship with God our Father. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've got three persons of the Trinity. They are all persons. That means we can have a relationship with them. But you need a little bit of I need to learn to talk. You need a little bit of help sometimes in order to figure out how to do that. Help is on the way. Stick with me. We will talk more about the Holy Spirit in the weeks ahead. But for right now, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. As we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways, blessing us with the gift of life. Thank you for the fact that the sun rose this morning. Thank you for creation, for all of nature. Thank you for allowing our bodies to function, our hearts to continue beating, our lungs to be able to breathe. We're very grateful for that. Thank you for allowing us to be able to think and to voluntarily turn to you and love you. We realize that that's a gift you've given us. You've given us the gift of free will so we can turn to you and love you and decide, make a conscious decision to follow you. We ask for the grace to be able to do that. We ask for the ability to know your will and the strength to follow it every day of our lives. Father, we ask you to bless us and our family members, bless those around us. Please help anybody who is sick, anybody who is anxious, anybody who is lonely, anybody who is struggling with doubt or despair, so anyone struggling with addiction, anyone struggling financially, and anyone who might be living in extreme poverty, who might be homeless, as well as people who are being persecuted right now for their belief in you, Father, and those who are dealing with any kind of extreme weather conditions. We have a lot of them throughout the United States right now, especially tornadoes and violent weather. We ask you to protect everyone, Father. We ask you to continue to provide for us, for our needs. Help us be able to differentiate our needs from our wants. Father, we ask that you help us with our own personal intentions. Whatever we have, we give them to you. We ask you for your help. I turn the show over to you. I ask you to speak through me today. And please continue to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me and to open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to the message you have for us. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. And please put an end to abortion in the world. We ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Augustine of Canterbury, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just dropped my bookmark. Yes, Saint Augustine of Canterbury, he's our saint for the day. A little bio on him. He was a native of Rome, where he served as prior of the monastery of Saint Andrew. Saint Gregory the Great sent him with 30 companions from Rome to the Anglo-Saxon kingdom centered in Kent. The mission faltered at first, and Augustine returned to Rome. But Gregory, confident in Augustine's leadership, consecrated him abbot of the fledgling community and sent him back on the road to England. Reaching Kent, Augustine and his companions were successful in converting the king, Ethelbert. Thousands of his subjects followed him into the church. Gregory appointed Augustine Archbishop of Canterbury. He died around the year 604 and is considered the apostle to England. So, St. Augustine of Canterbury, please pray for us. Grant us the strength, the grace that we need to be able to continue evangelizing and bringing souls closer to Christ. My name is Gary Zimek. You know I am just pleased as punch. How's that for an old antiquated expression? To be here with you on the program. We do this Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also on iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. However you want to get us to get this program, I'm just happy that you're able to listen free of charge. That's the way I always want it to be, and that's why I have to turn to you and ask for your donations in order to keep the program free and to keep my ministry running. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. From there, you can find out how to bring me in as a speaker. You can also find out information about all of my 5 books, including the latest, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. And if you have any questions about anything, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, we've got a lot of scripture to get in, so let's begin with today's first reading. This is from Friday of the 8th week in Ordinary Time. Now, I just lost my page. Here we go. The reason I want to do these readings in addition to the Sunday readings is we've got so many great messages. First reading. Beloved, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and sober-minded so that you will be able to pray. Above all, let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory. I lost my place. I'm sorry. How did I lose? Oh, I'm sorry. To whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you, but rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. There's a lot in this first reading, and a couple of things that I would like to point out. First is that St. Peter is saying that the end of all things is at hand. This gives us a sense of urgency. Now, obviously, this was written some 2,000 years ago. The end of the world has not occurred yet, but we are in the end times. These end times might go on for thousands of years, but technically we are in the end times. And we don't want to lose sight of that fact, because that's a really important concept. We don't want to slack off, because we're awaiting the second coming of our Lord. We don't know when that'll be, but we know that it will be sometime in the future. We don't know when. He talks about the importance of letting our love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. You don't have to feel the love, but you should care about the people around you enough to pray for them and to do what you can to tell them about Jesus. He talks about using your gifts. Every one of us has received a gift. Don't tell me you don't have a gift. You have some gift. You're good with people. You're a good prayer. You're a good server. You're good with old people. You're good with young people. You've got some kind of gift. You're a good speaker. You're a good listener. Ask the Holy Spirit to let you know what your gift or gifts are, and then put them at the service of the church. Use your gift for the good of the church, to bring other people to the Lord, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Then he talks about, beloved, don't be surprised that you're going to have some suffering in your life. But if you're suffering, rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, and you can unite your suffering with the suffering of our Lord, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. We're not going to see it necessarily in this life, the fruit of our suffering, but someday it's going to be made clear. So we've got to pray for the grace to trust and the strength to be able to offer up our suffering, because we do know that it does bear fruit. We might not understand it, but we have to believe what our church teaches us. Let's look at the gospel. It's from Mark chapter 11. We skip a little segment of the gospel between yesterday and today. We skip the part where Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem. The reading we usually look at on Palm Sunday, we are in what is known as Passion Week now. These events take place in the final week of our Lord's life. Over a third of Mark's gospel is devoted to that final week. That's something you might not realize, but it's really true. A lot happened here. So this is what's happening. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he's preparing for his death in approximately 1 week. This is Mark 11, verses 11 through 26. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "My house shall be made a house of prayer for all peoples, but you have made it a den of thieves." The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out to the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to them in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you that all that you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." But there's a lot going on in that gospel, and obviously I don't have the time to go into too much detail, but I wanted to make a couple of points. Number one, note that Jesus was hungry. He allowed himself to experience human desires, needs, such as hunger. So if you ever doubt that Jesus knows what you're going through, don't doubt that, because look at a line like this in the gospel and realize that, yeah, he knows what it's like to be hungry. He also cursed this fig tree. The common interpretation of this is that we have limited time. And in the case of the Israelites, a lot of Jesus' teaching and his reaching out to them didn't bear fruit. They didn't take him seriously. Some did, but not everybody did. And the Jews, many of them, rejected him. Don't be caught in the position of being judged one day, being surprised to die. It's going to happen to all of us. We don't know when we're going to die. And stand before the Lord with no fruit to show from your life. That's a huge mistake. Jesus was trying to teach the apostles something, and he made his point very clearly. Then he went into the temple, and what was happening here was an abuse of the temple. People were selling things at exorbitant rates and profaning the temple, the holy house of the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you, as somebody told me one time, well, Jesus wasn't perfect too. See, he lost his temper. Jesus was perfect. There's such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus wasn't losing it like you and I lose it. Don't use this passage as an excuse to lose your temper. If you lose your temper and it's over something that is sinful, it's still a sin. You could be justified in having an anger about abortion. Not to the point where you go cursing people or getting violent with them. That's sinful. But there's a certain thing as righteous anger, and it's really not an anger per se. It's sort of an indignation. There was a really severe violation going on here, and Jesus was trying to make a point. This is not to excuse the fact that we lose our temper over petty things all of the time. And then finally, our Lord says to his disciples, because he wants them to understand, if you pray for something and believe that your prayer will be granted, you can do the impossible. It doesn't mean that you could just pray for anything and expect to get what you prayed for. You got to take Scripture as a whole. It's got to be something that's God's will. It's got to be something that's good for you and those around you. You pray to hit the lottery so you go hang out on the beach for the rest of your life and do nothing. I don't think that that's going to happen, because that's not going to help you at all. So you got to keep it in perspective. But remember, we need to pray for the gift of faith so that we can really believe in the fact that God can answer our prayers and do anything. All right, let's shift to the Sunday Mass readings. Remember, this is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, commonly known as Corpus Christi. Let's look at the first reading from Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words: Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. This is a foreshadowing or a prefiguring or a biblical type, as it's sometimes called, of Jesus. Melchizedek is thought to be a type of Jesus. So that really what's happening here is essentially this is about Jesus. And we see Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he brought out bread and wine, bring a priest of God Most High, blessed Abram with these words. He offered bread and wine to God the Father, which is essentially what happens at Mass. Jesus in the person of the priest and all of us along with him offer the sacrifice of bread and wine, which has become, through transubstantiation, the body and blood of Jesus offered to the Father. So we see a foreshadowing of what happened with Jesus, the high priest, the true high priest. He is our true high priest. The Psalm 110, you are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The scepter of your power, the Lord will stretch forth from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Yours is princely power in the day of your birth in holy splendor. Before the day star, like the dew, I have begotten you. The Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Melchizedek, he's sort of a mysterious figure. That priesthood, again, is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And this is how the first reading is tying into our gospel. The idea of the Eucharist, the body and the blood of Christ, which has been transformed or transubstantiated from common bread and wine. It's a miraculous event, but we see that foreshadowed in the first reading in the psalm. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And this is what Jesus did. And St. Paul has been handed this by Jesus. Jesus told St. Paul this is what he did. That's why we go to Mass and we celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when the bread and the wine becomes the substance changes. That's what transubstantiation is all about. The substance changes into the body and blood of Christ. And you're starting to see how this whole, all these readings lead us to reflect on this wonderful gift that we have in the Eucharist, the body and the blood of Christ. Let's do the gospel now. It's from Luke chapter 9, verses 11 through 17. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." Jesus said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so, and made them all sit down. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." Did you catch that? They all ate and were satisfied. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. What happened? Jesus said, "Give me your 5 loaves, give me your 2 fish," and he miraculously multiplied them so that everyone, 5,000 people, could eat. The Eucharist is a miracle. So when we celebrate this solemnity, focusing on the body and the blood of Christ, we're celebrating a miraculous event. I'm a cradle Catholic. You might be a cradle Catholic too, or maybe you've been a Catholic for a long time. One of the great mistakes that we can make, and this is very common, is we become immune, or maybe it doesn't affect us anymore. I'm trying to think of the right word. I can't think of the right word now, but we become desensitized. That's the word I'm looking for. We become desensitized to the fact that we are seeing a miracle every time we go to Holy Mass. Let's not lose sight of that fact. And don't kid yourself. You need the Eucharist every bit, even more so, than the food you eat every day. The food you eat nourishes your body, but the grace you receive from the Holy Eucharist nourishes your soul. So this is a really, really big privilege for us to be able to receive our Lord in this way. When you go to Mass on Sunday, spend some time thinking about it. Spend some time really appreciating this great gift. All of these readings, that's what they're all about. They're all about this tremendous gift that we have in the Eucharist. Let's make sure we thank the Lord and try to grow in appreciation, especially this weekend, for this tremendous gift. Does that sound good? Now, let me tell you something. I'm exhausted. We did a lot of readings today. If you have any questions, I'll be here this weekend. Let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. In the United States, I realize not all of our listeners are in the United States, but in the U.S., we celebrate Memorial Day on Monday. We will do a show. So if you want to swing on by, God willing, if I'm here, we'll do a show on Monday. And I don't like to take holidays off because I believe in this show. It's too important. I got to spend time with you. So provided I'm not doing anything, I always try, unless I'm going away or something. And I'm not. I'll be here. So we'll have a show on Monday. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, You've got a great blessing in the Eucharist. Make sure you thank the Lord for doing that. God bless you.